Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Vegas Therapist. I am your host, Ryan Winder. And remember, what's happening in Vegas is not staying in Vegas, as I bring you helpful tips in all sorts of topic areas with a Vegas twist, of course. So let's get the show started. Welcome everybody. It's good to have you back in for another episode of The Vegas Therapist. I am your host, Ryan Winder. I've got a great topic for you today, and before we get to that, just wanted to check in and hope everybody's doing well. I know it's been a little bit again since the last episode, but it is what it is sometimes, and trying to do the best I can to get things out there. Hopefully, I'm in the process of lining up an amazing guest for the 100th episode. That confirmation could really come in at any time. So anyway, got the communication going, and hopefully, like I said, I'll have that wrapped up today for the 100th episode, which I'm excited about and just glad that I've been able to maintain the process for that long, and couldn't have done that without your support and without the feeling of like just that people are listening to the podcast, they appreciate the podcast, and the things that it can provide for them. So thanks again for that and for the continued support. And just if you don't know, you can always again email me ryanwinder@gmail.com if you have any suggestions for topics of the show, or if you want to reach out to me for any other reasons, any kind of personal work that you may want to do, coaching, therapy, whatever it is, I'm available for that. There is the Vegas Therapist Facebook page also out there that you can be a part of, for where I post things, you can post things, and we could talk about different topics that I put on there as well. So anyway, that's about it for the housekeeping issues. Like I said, I do have an interesting topic for today, and it's going to come from a book called Unbroken, which that is the guest that I'm hoping to have secured for the 100th episode, is Mary Catherine McDonald, who is a PhD, and like I said, has written the book called Unbroken, which is an amazing book, which is why I want to have her on. But I just thought there was something in the book that really spoke to me, and I wanted to share it with you, and I wanted to kind of, you know, obviously have an episode about it. And it's really something that I've often said to my own clients as far as like a conversation or something that I've shared with them. But ultimately, in full disclosure on the podcast, and, you know, being radically honest, the things that I've talked about in the past is that I don't know if maybe I fully recognize what this actually meant when I would say it to people, or maybe even had a full understanding of how they could actually do this thing that I was telling them to do. And that is the statement of take your power back. Maybe you've heard that yourself from somebody. It's like, hey, you need to take your power back. You need to get back in control or back in charge or do something along that lines. And what I've meant by that, or at least what I felt like I meant by that, is like whatever hurt or pain or person that you're allowing to live rent-free in your head or determine your value. That could also be that could be a person or an event, that basically that you need to let go of that or take again your power back, because ultimately you get to be the one who decides your identity or value, not some person, not some event, that may have even happened 20 plus years ago. You can decide how to feel about yourself. And that's, you know, in some sense, what I've always kind of felt taking your power back was. And I don't think it's too different than what the book talks about, but I just feel like there's a clear definition and clear direction that she gives in the book as some things that we can do. So the book again is Unbroken. And in the section where it talks about taking your power back, because the book is all about trauma, she introduces it through the story of Muhammad Ali, and how Muhammad Ali subverted his power in his fight against George Foreman because he was told that he was too old, too slow, not powerful enough, all these different things that he was told about why he wouldn't beat George Foreman. And ultimately, the outcome is that he was able to beat him. And that way, what he did using the rope-a-dope technique, as he termed it, was the way that he was able to do that. But there's more to that, and I want to get to that later as far as like the dynamics and the things that kind of reflect his own basically taking his power back or subverting power, which when she uses the term subverting power in the book, it's like this kind of undoing, taking over, taking back type of a thing that we can do in our lives. And so, like I said, I want to utilize that correlation with Ali later on as we kind of talk about it. But you might be thinking, okay, well, when do I need to take my power back? When does subverting my power, when is that might be necessary in my life? So I can kind of look for that if that's something that I identify with or something I'm feeling, maybe as I'm talking, maybe that's resonating, that there's something out there in my life that has this power over me and I need to not let it anymore. So I think ultimately some things I came up with is like when basically I think this is important for us to understand or know when something has overtaken us, maybe held us down, put us in a cage, maybe we find ourselves feeling more powerless or helpless in regards to this thing or person, or just simply when we need to take back the reins, when we've given that up, somebody else is in charge, somebody else is taking the brunt of those things, or taking control of our lives in maybe way, and we just need to be able to take back the reins and get control back in our lives. Now, so there's that part. That's when I think that those things might be applicable in our lives. Now, what is that something that can overtake us? That's another question or thought is like, what might I be looking for, or what might be out there that could be in my life right now that could have this power over me? And I think that the reality of it is it comes in different forms. One, it could be a trauma itself. It could be a person in our lives, like a toxic person. It also could be a label or labels that have been put on us either by others or, again, an event that we've internalized in our life and come to allow those labels to settle in. Because when it comes to labels, most of us, and Mary Catherine talks about this in the book, most of us are at war with a version of ourselves that lives in our minds. And this version is typically made up of the labels that others have slapped on us, maybe even before we even knew that that was actually going on. So definitely labels are a big part of something that we can try to take our power back from. Labels like not enough, unacceptable, hard to love, broken, et cetera, et cetera. There's countless negative labels that people can allow to define them that have power in their lives, that they, when they feel them, when they get triggered by them, they just kind of take over, and that's that. Ultimately, we lose our identity when we engage in those labels, and this takes away, again, our power to act or to do something that we truly may want to do, but we feel caged or held in by that negative label. Obviously, people can do the same thing to us. If you want to think about the notion of who is it in your life or who might be in your life that maybe you change for, you become a different person around, or you don't feel like you can be yourself. Like maybe that's part of it. Like, you know, people you may not be able to say no to. Yeah, like things like that. Like a couple examples I want to give, like first with the people, second with the labels. Like with people in our lives, like I know recently I've been working with a client whose family, well, first of all, this person does a lot of social media stuff and she tries to engage in a lot of different stories and just funny things that she puts out there on her TikToks or Instagram, whatever. She's putting social media stuff out there. And, you know, it's really hard for her sometimes because she'll get a lot of pushback or negative feedback from her family members, in a sense, judgment from them. about different things that they might think is too risky or not appropriate or whatever it is. And ultimately, I mean, in my opinion, most of that stuff is not that way, but that's how her family feels about it. And so then when she gets that feedback, it's really hard for her to continue to be vulnerable or to continue to be open. And so that's a situation where it's like, okay, if I'm going to take my power back, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to do what feels good for me. I'm going to do what I feel is true, being true to myself, and just engage and not worry about the judgment or not worry about those things coming from those people. The same with labels. Labels can be very painful for us, and they can be very entrenched in our psyche and our way of thinking about ourselves. And so they do hold a power over us, especially when we get triggered. Another client I've been working with has a label of feeling like not even just like that her reality doesn't really matter, but also just like her feelings. She was always told that she was not grateful, that her feelings didn't matter, that she didn't have it as bad as somebody else. And so if she has a feeling that's sad or mad or whatever, now it's like she just doesn't feel like she's allowed to have those feelings. And that comes from those labels that she had early on. And so when a trigger happens, when she's made to feel a certain way in current day life, but she feels like that feeling is not okay, then it just sends her down a spiral and she's not able to, you know, kind of reset very easily, because that label of her being ungrateful or her having it not that bad or whatever it may be, just kind of resonates in her mind. And it's hard to shake that in those moments and feel valid for having those feelings or feel like it's okay for her to have those feelings. So those are a couple examples where people or labels have power over us. And it's up to us to try to subvert that power and to try to turn it around and take our power back. And whether it's feel okay and be true to ourselves and share what we want to share and feel what we want to feel and express what we want to express. So those are a couple examples in those situations. With trauma, you know, obviously how trauma can be this thing that has power over us. I mean, I think trauma can be a double dose of things, because it can include people and labels. And what I mean by that is just that, you know, as a result, maybe there's some person or group of people that maybe helped to inflict some type of trauma on us or played a role in our trauma. And then obviously the labels that come from the shame of the trauma can be a big part or a big deterrent in that as well. So those are kind of the three main things I think of when I think about, you know, things to look out for or what might be things that could be controlling us right now or having a level of power over us that we could look to try to overturn in our lives. So I think another part to look at when we're thinking about all this is just you know, if we're sitting there and we're trying to identify something that maybe has more power over us, and we might look and think, okay, well, what is it that I do or don't do, or what happens to me when I don't stand up for myself in these situations, when I don't fight back, or when I don't assert myself, or when I just kind of roll over and take whatever's there? I think obviously I feel that's hurtful for us, but I think we can feel betrayed by ourselves ultimately when that happens. And when we feel betrayed by ourselves, we are going to feel more shame, and we're going to feel more labels. We're going to attach more labels, I guess, to ourselves, like I'm weak, or I'm less than, I'm really not good enough, things like that. And so we have to be mindful of the consequences to not, you know, standing up for ourselves, to not getting into a place where we can take our power back and really subvert control in these situations where we were able to manage these things in a better way. I think the other thing, when we're kind of fighting these things and when we're thinking about taking our power back, we also have to be careful. And Mary Catherine McDonald, she talks about this in her book, that when we do things to reject a label, if that's kind of the way we decide we're going to fight something or take our power back, that sometimes we'll be caught up in this trying to prove ourselves as being good enough, for example. And when we do this, anything that we do really becomes proof that you're either not good enough or you are good enough. So it's kind of like this double-edged sword of a method of trying to prove your worth or get outside of that as far as like taking your power back. And when I read this, and actually when I was talking with a client today, this kind of came up, and it was interesting because she was asking me like, okay, so how do I do A, B, or C? You know, the thing that she was trying to do, how do I not spiral into these labels? How do I not? And so we were talking about it, and I brought this example up about, you know, having to be careful about engaging with the label at all in any kind of way, positive or negative. And I would say the positive way is like, even when I'm trying to fight the label. And I said, you know, like, I think for me, a lot of times I've done that method. I've tried to fight the label by rejecting it, by trying to prove it wrong. And like, and maybe it's a guy thing, maybe it's just kind of the way that I was raised. It's more of like, I would get angry kind of at the label, like almost like F that label, like, hey, you're not going to have power over me. You're not going to control me. You're not going to do that to me. Like, I remember when I was training for my first half marathon, and some of the longer runs that I was doing, I would have like different miles. If I really needed some extra energy, I would think about people that maybe doubted me or didn't think I could do much in my life or whatever it may be. And I would just think about how that played out in my life and how they made me feel. And I just like, okay, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be better. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get through this mile, and I'm going to just, yeah, make it happen. And I think in some ways, as long as you come out on the other side of that in a good way, that can be effective. But like, I think in the book Unbroken, and what she's trying to point out is just that, but you're still engaged with the label in some way. And like I said, it's a double-edged sword, because what happens if you quit? What happens if you don't get through that mile? What happens if you struggle to achieve the thing that you're trying to achieve to prove that wrong? Now it's just, it's doubling down. Now it's like, okay, well, I guess those people were right. I guess I do suck. I guess I am not good enough. I guess I am terrible. And that's just, you know, we're now just, yeah, that much deeper in the label, that much more inflicted with it. So I definitely would advise against that way of operating when it comes to taking our power back. I think we don't want to try to prove ourselves away from the label. And like I said, I definitely have been guilty about that, and probably, you know, in a lot of ways just have been lucky that my will or my determination to do certain things has just gotten me past it. So I haven't had to feel the negative label as much, but it doesn't mean that it's not still there. And what we're trying to do is to just eliminate the label, period. And so that engagement, for good or for bad, is still engagement. And we need to just move away from that. So now the question is, okay, so how do we then take our power back, or what's a more healthy way to take our power back and to regain a sense of feeling our own sense of identity, our own sense of life? What can we do to do that? Well, going back to the book and the story, what Mary Catherine points out in the book is that Muhammad Ali moved away from what wasn't, or like what he wasn't, I guess, in a sense. So he moved away from what he wasn't and accepted, in a sense, what he was. He was older. He wasn't as powerful. But what he then did was then he moved on to what he was, right? And what he was somebody that could take a punch. He was definitely a brave person, very courageous, and he was clever and he was smart, hence the rope-a-dope, right? So he's like, okay, so I'm going to use and I'm going to focus on my identity and who I am and not what I think other people think I am, which is, you know, not strong enough or too old or whatever it is. Because again, that goes back to what I was saying for myself. If I focus on those things, well, I'm going to prove them wrong, that I am powerful, that I am stronger. Well, then I'm just going to try to duke it out with this guy. And maybe it works out, or maybe it doesn't. I get my clock cleaned, and then that's it. And then all those things get proven right. So that's key right there. The first thing is that's why we can't engage with those labels. We have to just be like, okay, that's what's there, but what's in me? What else am I, like, what's my identity? What do I want my identity to be? So basically, in a sense, then what Ali was able to do was see beyond the negative, that and that made it possible for him to create his own identity, which is ultimately, again, what we're trying to get at, is for us to be able to kind of create our own identity and focus on that side of it rather than just proving ourselves against some kind of label. So that's one aspect of how we can take our power back. And again, giving all the credit to her and the things in her book. One of the exercises that McDonald talked about, or that she used in her book, was this exercise of 100 other things. And in that book, or in that example, 100 other things, ultimately this is what you do. So if you need a pen, paper, put me on pause, go get it. This is what it is, or go back to this part. Cause this is a great exercise. I've already done it with a few people. And it's definitely a powerful exercise. So long and short of it, take out a piece of paper. On the first step is that you want to just write down all the negative labels that float around in your head. So just kind of sit with that for a little bit. Think about all the negative labels that you've felt about yourself over time, and just write them all down. And then after you've done doing that, the second part is to then take a moment and notice how those then make you feel, right? Okay. So write all the labels down, the negative ones, then take a moment to notice how they make you feel. Now, the third thing is, which I guess I can guess kind of what that might feel like, because they're negative labels, so they're probably not making us feel very good. But still, write it down. And then on the same piece of paper, you want to take that out, and then you want to write down 100, that's right, 100 other things that you are. And none of these can be negative. They just all have to be positive. Now, they can be random, weird things. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything like magical. It can just be, hey, I'm somebody that wears glasses, or I love chocolate, or I'm a great friend, I'm funny, I like to wear baggy jeans, whatever it is. Like, it's just 100 other things about you as a person. And doesn't have to be all at once. If it's something you have to take time to do, I mean, obviously taking time to do 100 things could take a little bit, might take a few settings, but you want to get to at least 100 things. Then after you get the 100 things, then I want you to take a moment and notice how this list makes you feel. What is knowing that there's 100 other things about you than those negative labels do to your sense of self? Do you feel less trapped? Do you feel more free from the negative labels? Do you feel like that there's no necessary limit on who you are or what you can be? Hopefully that's where it's taking you. That's the design, is that you can see your identity outside those negative labels and see yourself for so much more. And that kind of leads me then to the second part, or not the second part, different exercise, different thought process. But I think, going back to the question, like, how do we take our power back? I think one of the critical things we have to do, and I had this conversation with a client earlier this week too, was the shame that we feel about ourselves, which is still kind of in some ways tied into those labels. But when we just kind of look at shame itself, it's like it's such a powerful thing, and it's so infiltrated and kind of just seeps into so many different things in our life. It really does take a process to kind of separate shame out of things. From what's happening, or just how we think about things, how we think about ourselves. Like, for example, we know that shame is kind of like the feeling of not being good enough. It makes us feel wrong about ourselves. So for example, as opposed to just thinking that something is wrong or bothering us, again, we think we are wrong, right? So like, it could just be something like, hey, anxiety sucks, or versus I suck for having anxiety. That's like more shaming, right? It's like, here's this thing that sucks to have. It sucks to deal with. It's frustrating. But when you kind of internalize it with the shame, it's like, oh, I suck for having anxiety. I'm judging myself. I feel weak. I feel less than. Again, shame about it. So I'm in this kind of pattern of self-blame, which we know self-blame is shame-based because we're not feeling good enough for something or for not feeling good enough. So the idea is like, if I'm a person who deals with anxiety, separating out the shame, that puts me in a better spot to just deal with the anxiety as is and not compounding it because there's something else bigger that must be wrong with me because I have anxiety. Just like I'm a person with anxiety, or I'm a person that has anxiety, I'm a person that struggles with anxiety. I'm not bad because I have anxiety. I'm not less than because I have anxiety. So we have to separate the shame out of things in order to be able to begin that process of taking our power back. And that's really a critical thing that we need to do. A couple other, those are some big ones, I think. And sometimes those things right there can take a lot of work in our process of doing things. But once we get past those, then there's some other just basic ones. I just kind of want a more bullet point list off. We want to be able to say no to others. Maybe we're a person that's kind of more of a people pleaser and it's hard for us to say no. So sometimes there can be taking our power back and just being able to say no. Sometimes that's just a situation. Sometimes it's a specific people. So that obviously can include setting better boundaries with people. It may be going back to the person I was talking about before. It may be more about speaking our truth, just trusting in ourselves and being able to say what we feel in whatever kind of situation and just allowing that to be what it is. I think another big part for a lot of people is being able to put our personal joy first, being able to just, hey, what's important to me? What makes me feel happy? What makes me feel joyful? And just putting that front and center. That's a way, because there's a lot of people, especially people that have struggled through traumas and have different labels. They don't, different labels that they struggle with. They don't feel good enough. They don't feel like that they deserve personal joy or putting that personal joy first. And so they really struggle with that. So another way to take our power back is by doing that. And then along with like things like setting boundaries and saying no, it might actually be something where we have to actually distance ourselves from toxic people in our lives, which again might be a difficult thing. But if it helps us to feel better, if it helps us to feel more, to feel stronger within ourselves, again, standing up for ourselves, not betraying ourselves or disappointing ourselves because we don't stand up to a person, or when we get around this toxic person, whoever they may be, they just sort of beat us down or make us feel less than, and then we just kind of take it, and then we're all the more to struggle with ourselves as a result of that. So anyway, those are some things I was thinking about. I just really like the idea of just taking our power back and being able to assert or subvert whatever it is that we are battling against in our lives and be able to flip it around and be able to live our best lives, really. And not allow those things, whether, again, it's our trauma, working on our trauma, getting past our trauma, not letting it have the same impact that it's had over the years. Negative labels. I'm so tired of negative labels. They're so impactful to people. They've been impactful in my life. And just having to deal with them. But there's ways through that. And there's healing from that. But obviously, we have to put in the work to do that. So anyway, those are just some thoughts wanted to share. Looking forward to having Mary Catherine McDonald on to talk about her book, Unbroken. It's part of the 100th episode. Excited about that as well. Excited to keep going with the podcast. Again, I know the episodes sometimes they lag, and I apologize for that. I would promise to do better, but I don't want to make empty promises. I want to speak my truth and just know that I'm going to do the best I can and try to put out as much as I can, when I can, when it's best for me, when it's best for people that I can try to get on the show. And that's all I can do. And that's all we can do, is just the best that we can. And again, that part of that, doing the best we can, is not letting negative labels kind of attach themselves to us and say, no, you're not doing good enough or whatever it may be. Anyway, hope you're well. Hope you enjoyed this and fight that battle. Take your power back. Well, don't fight the battle. Just take your power back. Don't engage with those negative labels. This is the Vegas Therapist signing off. Till next time.